the Justice Department has blown through a deadline set by House Democrats to hand over the unredacted Mueller report. Now, the House Judiciary Committee will consider holding Attorney General William Barr in contempt of Congress. Let's start there with NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson, who joins us now. Hi, Mara.
Hi, Jeremy.
So the deadline passed this morning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time. What happens now?
Well, the House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler says that the committee is going to vote on contempt, a contempt citation for not complying with their subpoena for the Mueller report. And that could mean that Attorney General Barr will be held in contempt.
And what does that mean if he's held in contempt by Congress?
Well, that is the big question, because Congress doesn't have a kind of enforcement arm of its own, doesn't have a police department. Mm-hmm. But it means probably that this goes to court. And this kind of thing has happened in the past. Eric Holder, who was President Obama's attorney general, was held in contempt. He didn't want to cooperate on a certain investigation called Fast and Furious. But these things go to court. And most legal experts will say that Congress has the stronger legal stand here because they have a constitutional requirement or responsibility to do oversight of the executive branch. But what Donald Trump has decided to do is really spark a kind of constitutional crisis or separation of powers confrontation, where he is saying that we will fight all the subpoenas, not just the Mueller report, his tax returns, other requests from Congress for oversight. He's going to fight all of them. It's a kind of blanket policy. And that is a real, in the stress test on democratic institutions that Trump continues to provide, this one is a big one, because respecting a co-equal branch of government is how our system works. And Trump is pretty much saying that he doesn't think that a Democratic Congress should be able to do oversight on the executive branch.
Well, and that brings us to another thing that the president has just said, which is that he now doesn't want Robert Mueller, the special counsel, to testify on Capitol Hill. He had previously said he wouldn't prevent Mueller from testifying and called it William Barr's decision. Barr has said he had no objection. Why is Trump now reversing positions if, as he has said, Mara, that the Mueller report is a total exoneration of him? Why wouldn't he want to hear from Mueller?
Well, that's a really good question. We have to assume that he thinks that Mueller would say things that would be that would undermine him, that would be damaging to him. There's no other reason for him to say that Mueller shouldn't testify. Now, the question is, what power does he have to prevent Mueller from testifying? Right now, Mueller is an employee of the Justice Department, and presumably Bill Barr could stop him from testifying, although Barr has said it's fine with him. Very soon, Mueller will become a private citizen, and then I don't know who could stop him from testifying. I think there's no legal power that the president would have to stop him. Now, maybe the president's personal wishes hold some kind of weight with Bob Mueller. I don't know.
We are going to have to see what happens with that. And by the way, the testimony could come as soon as next week.
Yes, that's
the day
that Congress has asked for. Right.
Michael Cohen is now an inmate. The former personal attorney for the president checked into prison today. Spoke with reporters first, though. Here he is.
I hope that when I rejoin my family and friends, that the country will be in a place without xenophobia, injustice, and lies at the helm of our country. There still remains much to be told, and I look forward to the day that I can share the truth.
Mara, what's the significance of what's happening now? Cohen going to prison finally.
Well, he's going to prison. That isn't going to stop him from cooperating with prosecutors. Presumably, he's given them everything he knows already. But it's unclear if he is just angling for a field trip from the Club Fed in Otisville, New York, where he's checking into today, or if he has some new piece of information that he could give to investigators or the Southern District of New York. That's unclear. But Michael Cohen is going to jail. He was the president's lawyer and fixer. Paul Manafort, the former campaign chairman for the Trump campaign, is in jail. And, I don't think we'll hear from them again unless they have something big and new that we don't know about.
One more thing, Mara, we got to talk about the 2020 race, because I thought we had all the candidates already, but it sounds like there are more coming on the Democratic side. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio is expected to announce he's going to get into it. He'd be the 22nd confirmed Democratic candidate, with others still considering a run. Why are all these people getting into this race right now? What do they think they're going to bring to the table?
Well, each one of them thinks they're going to bring something else to the table. But what's interesting, people run for president for many different reasons. Some of them think they have a clear path and a way to win. Some of them want to raise their name recognition in preparation for another race for governor or senator. Sometimes on the Republican side, we see people who seem to be angling for a Fox News contract or a book contract. It's unclear what de Blasio hopes to accomplish here. I haven't seen any big chorus of New Yorkers saying, run, Bill, run. As a matter of fact, it's been quite the opposite.
Right.
So I'm not sure. But look, I think that this Democratic field is going to sort itself out pretty soon into top-tier serious candidates and candidates that can't break 1%. You know, there will be debates where you have to have a certain standing in the polls and a certain number of contributions from a certain number of people in order to be on the debate stage. That'll be one winnowing factor. But I think pretty soon we're going to be only talking about the 5, 6, 7 candidates that really have a chance.
But just briefly, it must be very difficult for them to raise money in such a crowded field.
Well, there's a lot of money out there. What was really interesting to me was how easy it was for many candidates, including minor ones. I think John Hickenlooper raised $1 million on his first day in the race. So the low-hanging fruit, the low-hanging money is easy to get, but it's hard to get the really big money over time.
NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson, thank you.
Thank you.